another week of fun and frivolity and doom. Don't forget that, and death and destruction and optimism. Yes, death, doom, destruction, and optimism in the face of death, doom, and destruction, because we have an expectation. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another week of the Revelation series. This is Martin Zender. I do have I was listening to a couple of my shows from last week. I love the show about the Titanic, and I had a expanded thought on that. You know, if you were to zoom up on the people in the lifeboat, and if all you saw was people in a lifeboat freezing, huddled together, you would think, oh, those poor people on the lifeboat, what a terrible day they're having. But if you took a camera and zoomed it out and you saw the Titanic sinking 100 yards away, then your perspective would change. You would say, look at those lucky people on that lifeboat. Especially if you see frozen bodies floating in the North Atlantic. So I look at the same thing with us. Depends on the perspective. The more you pan the camera out, the more you realize how lucky we are. I mean, if you were to isolate us on a close-up camera here on the planet, you would say, look at those poor people struggling, fretting, and angst, anxiety upon that dismal planet. But if you took the big picture, and if you scanned out, and you could somehow see God and Christ and their favor of us, you would see us as the most blessed people on the planet. And so it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? Look at those poor people. No, if you knew, and we do know, we are poised to become the regents of the universe by virtue of Christ and his death. Yes, we're going to continue on into chapters 17 and 18 of Revelation, 18 being the destruction of Babylon. I got to share with you a conversation I had with my friend Dean Wilkinson. I wrote this down because it was such a great conversation. Dean lives in Evansville, Indiana, and he called me one day, true believer. The real deal is Dean Wilkinson, and we were talking about how close we are to the end of this eon. And I talk with friends sometimes about, we talk about bringing the last member into the body of Christ. Now, when I say this, I don't want you to think that we're all boasting or pretentious, like, who do we think we are? But look, I've told you in my Romans series, my print series on the book of Romans, that the evangel today is passed along by a word of mouth. It's passed along by heralds, and it's the first and last time it came directly from heaven into a human brain was when Saul was on the road to Damascus, and it hasn't happened that way since. Since then, there's a laborious process of bringing the truth to someone, and that person hears it. They've never heard it before, and then they think about it, and then they say those amazing words, oh, wow, I get it. Bang, that is a member of the body of Christ. I get it. That's realization. The foremost spiritual words I've ever heard are, oh, I get it. That's it. We're not looking for holy roller theatrics. I'm not looking for evidence such as rolling on the floor, barking like a dog, speaking in tongues. That's not evidence of anything except a lunatic. We're looking for realization of the truth. So I'm talking to Dean, and you know, I like, of course, if you ask me, Martin, would you like to be the one who brings the last member into the body of Christ? Yes, I would. I must tell you, I'm like Michael Jordan. Legend has it that in close games, in the fourth quarter, Michael Jordan would get into the huddle and say, give me the damn ball. Give me the damn ball. Because he knew he was going to make something happen. He has confidence in his abilities. Even though it sounds like a paradox, we have no confidence in flesh, and yet I know God uses me as a vessel. So yeah, I'd love to be the guy who brings the last member into the body of Christ. But Jordan was also a selfless person. If he saw someone else open in the corner in the last second of a game, everybody thinks Jordan's going to take the shot for the three-pointer. But no, Jordan will dish out. He's done this. Game five, I think. He shot a pass. Maybe it was their fourth championship. He shot a bounce pass to John Paxton. And Paxton took the winning shot. So Jordan got an assist, but he was able to give the ball to somebody else. And I told Dean, listen, Dean, I don't care anymore. If I bring the last member of the body of Christ, I said, dude, get open. They might be triple teaming me. Satan might be wanting to prevent me from getting the evangel. If you're open in the corner, buddy, you be ready. I'm going to pass the ball to you. You bring the last member into the body of Christ. Give them the word of God. I say that all to you right now, that if you want to be that person who brings the last member, what? There's a hand appearing in the out of my lawn. What is this? This is scary. I know it's getting to be Halloween, but there's a hand appearing out of the corner of my camera here in the laundry room. That is because we have a surprise guest, ladies and gentlemen. It is Dean Wilkinson. Have a seat, Dean. This is the first time. Hi, that's welcome. Cool. Welcome to the Revelation
Martin,
series.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Dean is here. He's the first guy to visit me in my laundry room since I've been here. Back in Pennsylvania, I used to have, when I did my audio show instead of the video, a lot of people used to sit in on the show. Now that I'm doing video, I have to sneak them in. But you're the first one to come down, sneak him in off stage. But
I snuck in already.
Yeah, you snuck in. Dean's here for 5 days to visit me, and I invited him to have a short conversation with me. And Dean and I, we're going to continue with the Revelation series, don't worry. But Dean and I were talking about the deception of the end times and how astounding it is to us, really, that the deception is so slick, and that people who can say the right words, they're saying the truth, it sounds like the truth, and they're sincere people, and they seem like harmless people, and yet they don't believe one thing they're saying. And I think the most seductive form of falsehood is when it looks close to the truth. You've experienced some of this with people you know, where you've given them the truth and they've looked at you like they're crazy. And I know a lot of people listening to us have experienced the same thing. Tell us of your frightening experiences in talking with people who are religious but not believers.
Hi everyone. I am Dean. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Very emotional to be here. I watch the show, of course, like you all. And now, yeah, I feel like I just snuck in here in the back door.
That's exactly what he did, by the
exactly,
way.
Yeah, pass me the ball. That's exactly
pass him
right.
The ball. Yeah. If you're open, I'm going to pass it to you.
Yeah. So here it is. Never done this before. Never talked in a mic like this before that I know of. Anyway, yeah, Martin, that definitely. I mean, that touches a button with me. The sincerity of people, the people that you can grow up with. I know so many of you experienced like me. I mean, they love you. That they are sincere. They can even speak the truth, speak scripture, teach you truth and in scripture to where it can make you. And now I can listen to the same people doing those things, and it can be emotional because it's true. But that, yeah, it's very, very tricky. It's very, and like I said, around this Halloween time, I think that's kind of interesting that we're talking about this now, but, they don't know then the truth. That's what's so amazing to me. There again, it's not a criticism or anything like that. That was me. That was me for, you know, most of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know. I could say the right things and honestly wanted to know them, but just didn't know the truth or know anything about God and how wonderful and how awesome He is and how it's all going to come together. There is a plan. And it's a beautiful thing. So anyway, if that helps or there's any encouragement there for anybody there, I know it's a grind. It's a fight. It's tricky. We can be, I'm sucked.
That's the thing.
Yeah, you get sucked in by tricky. The sincerity and the love of people that is real. It's real. There's no conspiracy. They're not waking up trying to conspire and trick you or anything.
Yeah. I think of Caiaphas when he prophesied that one time. Remember, Caiaphas said, better for one man to die than the whole nation should perish. And he prophesied. He said something true, but the man had no idea what he was saying.
Right, yeah.
And so should we trust? I mean, so, okay, the man happened to hit it. So now do we go to Caiaphas for information? No. Can we can't trust it unless it comes from the source of Christ through a person. But what about it? What about these people who say the right words? I think of a lot of the hymns, people singing these songs in Pentecostal churches, and the lyrics are right. Like, Jesus is our Savior. He's all powerful. He's all this. He's all that. And they don't believe a single word of it.
No.
So it's a, you know, I think we can call that a false testimony, can we?
Absolutely. I don't know how. It's one of the most evil things that I've witnessed now. Today, those things like that, the deception, because it is so close, because there are truths. The scripture, of course, is true. But yeah, it is false. If you could just somehow, and that's my experience, if you could just get, I couldn't do this. I wasn't able to do it until, you know, God himself through other people just kind of made me go, and just ask the next question. Ask the question about the hymn you're singing, that he is the Savior of the world and things like that, and say, is he really the Savior of the world? And what does that mean anyway? What does that really mean? Or is he just the savior of me because of something I've done or my little group?
Or is he just a potential savior of the world?
Yeah, is it just an opportunity here to be a savior? Or is he really the savior? I mean, is there really scripture that says that? Of course there is. I mean, they'll quote it better than I can. There's so many. I mean, the scripture is full of obvious truths that Jesus is the savior. Of the world, and that's a beautiful thing. So yeah, I would encourage anyone, if you are listening for the first time, it's like, hey, what's going on? I know, or the Revelation series is definitely very heavy, what Martin's doing these last couple years. How long is it going?
Yeah, 2 years, two years.
Okay, he's still going the Revelation series, heavy stuff. But if you're listening for the first time, or you're like, hey, what is going on? Who's Dean? What is Dean talking about? I would just encourage you to go ahead. I know you're sincere. I know you want to love God and believe in Scripture, and that's a beautiful thing. Just ask a couple more questions. Mm-hmm. What really happened when it started, you know, with Adam and Eve? If you're one that's, you do believe that, you actually believe, hey, yeah, it really started somewhere, and you're not kind of questioning that, which that's totally fine too, but you're not, you kind of believe, but what really happened, and was there a plan set up? Was it set up on purpose for other reasons?
That's it. Ask questions. You know, it's
ask those questions. Find out. You'll find out, like I did. Mm-hmm. You'll find out what you really believe.
It's and the Hollywood Wall thing.
Scary too.
I'm always bringing up the Hollywood Wall analogy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have a Western town, and it sure looks like a Western town. It's got every accoutrement of a Western town, and yet if you look behind it, it's propped up by 2x4s. It's a facade, but it looks like the real thing, and that's the threat today. And people can quote the verses all day, and it's truth in a way, right? I mean, it is truth.
Yeah.
Anybody can.
No, it's true,
if I read the scripture, that's truth. And there is power in the word, in the unadorned word. But I think of the Apostle Paul. You remember when Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and there was a woman with a demon, with a false spirit. And she said, these men come to you from the Most High God. You know, and she was actually testifying to them truly. And yet Paul cast the demons out. He wanted her to shut up, even though she was advertising him correctly.
Right.
But Paul questioned the source, right? The source was not true. So the words can be true, but the source can be dubious. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to watch out for in the last days. I'm always talking about fake Jesus. Remember that film we made, Fake Jesus?
If you haven't seen the film, watch the film. It's the best movie ever made.
Oh, really? Well, thank you.
Even absolutely.
Better than Star Wars, Jaws?
Yeah.
He's looking at Judy Garland. He's about to tell me it's better than The Wizard of Oz, at which point I might have to put up a small protest, but if you say so. No, it's the fake Jesus syndrome. It's the fact that there are so many imitations out there now. And Dean is so right. I like what you said about just asking a couple more questions.
Just a couple more.
Because you have these people who say, yes, Jesus is the Savior of all. All you need to do is ask that person a couple more questions to realize that they don't really believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what you were saying was that person themselves.
That's my heart.
They need to ask next two questions. But they don't know to ask them. They don't know there's anything
Don't know to ask. No, it's never presented in the systems, you know, that are out there. It never goes that far. You don't even think. I can't believe we didn't think to ask those next couple questions, but you just don't. I encourage you to go ahead and, yeah, don't be scared to ask those questions. Find out what you really believe. Find out, is this really all there is? It's all this death, destruction. Of course, we're subjected to all these evil things here that we're all going through. We all know about it. We all battle it. But, are we really going to look back and think, man, that was great. You know, now look, now it's really bad. I mean, that's, it's embarrassing what I used to believe. I mean, it's emotion.
Well, everybody listening to you now can say the same thing. It's embarrassing what we used to believe. I used to believe in eternal torment, people. I used to believe in free will. Yes. I defended eternal torment for a couple of years after I heard the truth. Was I a believer at that time? No. That's the thing. When did you actually become a believer? Did I become a believer when I mouthed the words? No. I was still reading my Bible for the first time, and there was a battle on for me, for my soul, relatively speaking. I'm starting to sound like a Christian. There's a battle for your soul, but there is. Mm-hmm. And just being introduced to it doesn't seal the deal. Just talking it doesn't seal the deal. It's a real experience. You know, it's a real experience. I'll close with this anecdote quickly. I remember, never forget a Bible study. No, you can't get out of the frame yet. No, get back here, get back here. There was a Bible study when we're talking about the salvation of all. This new guy had come in, and we're talking about the salvation of all. For 35 minutes, we're giving every verse. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also Christ shall all be vivified. And this guy's going, yeah. Colossians 1:20, through the cross, Jesus is going to reconcile all things to himself, whether those on the earth, those in the heavens. Yeah. The guy's all for it. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. I totally believe that, he says. And so another 15 minutes went by, and we started talking about everybody being in heaven someday. And he goes, wait a minute, what? Wait a minute, you guys don't believe everybody's going to be in heaven someday. What have we been saying for 35 minutes? Mm-hmm. Every single verse, the salvation of all is flying through the room. This guy's hearing it and endorsing it. Yes. But he has no belief in it whatsoever. Right. It's the false Christ. It's the false Messiah. It's the words and not the substance. Words and not the substance. So we're about substance. My friend Dean here, he's the real deal by the grace of God. You can't help it. You're the real deal.
I can't help it totally by the grace of God. Of course, anybody knows me knows that. Yeah. There's no tricks with me. It's not like I'm this excellent student.
You're a terrible student.
Horrible student. That is true. Horrible student. Don't have that mindset. Can't disrupt. I've tried my whole life. I'm still trying.
You try.
Still trying.
We're all going to give it to Dean for trying, but he's chosen.
Yeah.
But you're chosen.
It was just, boom, here it is. Completely knocked me, on my butt. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen with all of you.
It's going to happen to everybody.
Yeah, eventually.
It's going to happen to all those within the sound of my voice. It's already happened for. But it's going to happen to everyone. And it's a matter of being called now. It's a matter of being chosen now. That's the only way you get this truth. You don't get it by education. You don't get it by study. I'm not disparaging study. Of course we study, but unless you're called, you're screwed.
Let me say something about that.
He's got to say something about studying.
That's a big one on my heart because I am a horrible, horrible student. It's hard for me to retain. But just to, not pat Martin on the back, but we do out there, of course, and I know you do. We appreciate so much Martin and others. There's a few out there, of course, out there. But not many. What's amazing because I search around. I still search around all the time for other people and that are scholarly, like, believe it or not, Martin is, that can study, work their tails off, and uncover these truths and get into, the context and the actual meaning of the words, each one. And Martin does that. And I'm so thankful for that. We have to have it. We have to have it out there.
Thanks.
Yeah. And so study is very, very important. That's a tricky one. I know it's amazing all the scholars out there. There's millions that people do study.
And they don't know part of the truth. They don't know one thing.
That's what he meant. You don't get it from study.
You don't get it from study.
But if that's your bent, you love that,
Hey, study your Browns app.
Keep doing it. That's what you do. That's great. Just ask the simple question.
Yeah.
Just ask that next question.
That's right. I know people have memorized the Bible and they don't know anything.
Would you do some of these things that you believe and that you're teaching? Would you even do them? And you're certainly not, can't love like God. So why would you believe God would do that? I mean, just ask the next question about what you really believe.
Ask the next question. What do you think? Before we go, what do you think of my washer and dryer here? I mean, what do you think of the laundry room? Do you like the setup? Is it just as epic as you thought it was?
Surreal, very emotional, it's very nice, very nice.
Tomorrow, right. Thank you, Dean, for visiting. Thank you for speaking with our fellow believers here on the Revelation series. I'll be back tomorrow, folks, with the Unveiling Chapter 17.